Starting the year strong is easier and more delicious with Omaha Steaks premium prepackaged proteins. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more, every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Should the PSNI publish photographs, mugshots of convicted criminals? They're considering doing this for anybody who's been convicted of an offence and maybe received a sentence of at least 1 year or more. The police there hope that this approach is going to try and help build confidence and also, though, just act as a deterrent, even potentially stop people committing crimes in the first place. Kathleen Chadha, who's the founder of the sentencing and victim equality group Save Action, is with me here on Lunchtime Live today. Kathleen, publishing photographs of convicted criminals, is it the right approach?
I would consider it is, yes. I think it shows a move towards a more victim-centric or centred process, really, and I think that's what it is. It's this is for the victim. It's for the person on the other end of the crime. We focus so much on the perpetrator all of the time, and you know, making sure that everything is just right for them. And I understand that you want to get a conviction if they are guilty, but why shouldn't it be public? And in fairness, I think the reading of it is it will be individualized. It will be inappropriate. Circumstances. So there is some discretion there. And I would be hopeful that discretion won't be used to stop people being named. But absolutely, I think it is. It is as a victim, it's our right to have that information public. There are going to be circumstances where it's not appropriate. Of course.
What
are
those circumstances in your mind?
Well, I suppose some of them would be if it is going to identify the victim,
yeah,
and that is not their wish, or they are a minor. So they would
rape or sexual offence case, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely. And we see more and more women who are actually waiving that anonymity, think of the word out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is because I think we're becoming more, I suppose braver is the wrong word for it, but we're becoming sort of where we realize more and more that by speaking out, that actually by putting our hands up and saying, look, this has happened to me, it actually can help other victims. Now, I know we're going down a slightly different route on that one, but that to me is what this is part of. It's actually, very simply, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Why should your right to anonymity be protected if you have carried out some heinous crime? Why should that be the case?
Well, then,
if the victim in that case is happy for that person to be
just park those for a moment, and maybe in the case of rape and sexual offence cases you mentioned, because as the law as it stands at the moment permits the victim, I suppose, to really have kind of discretion about that as to whether or not they waive their right to anonymity. But in other cases, as the PSNI are looking at this, as a way to build respect in the community, confidence in the community, to act as a deterrent. Are there other crimes for which, Kathleen, you think somebody, a convicted criminal's photograph, shouldn't be released? Or should it just be in all cases?
I personally think it should be in all cases, because I think that it should be. It's very difficult otherwise, and I think people can hide behind if there are certain circumstances. The only time for me is if the victim in that particular case doesn't want it for whatever reasons. But I think otherwise, if you've committed a serious crime, and presumably if you're over 12 months in prison, it is serious in whatever level. If you go beyond, if you think in terms of local newspapers, for example, they name people in the court section of a local newspaper. So, you know, your neighbour, friends, family members can be named if they've carried out something, you know, a crime. So, yeah, is it one more step closer to a potential deterrent for people? I'm not sure how much of a deterrent it will be, to be honest with you, because again,
well, we do it, as you said, to a certain extent anyway.
Yeah. We do, but I don't know that it's going to be a deterrent.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. I think it is more likely to be, again, from all of my reading on it, it is more about being victim-centric in all, the majority of cases. And I think that is where the positiveness of this comes out of, I'll be perfectly honest.
Okay.
And we have the right as a public to know if there are people out there, you know, that have committed crimes and what that crime might be.
Stay with me, Kathleen, if you don't mind, for a few moments. I just want to bring in a couple of other voices. I just want to hear people's listeners' thoughts on this today. I mean, whether or not you agree with the PSNI's decision to publish photographs of people convicted of crimes if they've been sentenced to at least 1 year or even more. 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. John Cuff, criminologist, former prison officer, with me here on the line today. Do you agree with the PSNI's decision, John?
It's a good question. And I was just listening to Kathleen talking there. I don't think it makes the slightest difference, to be quite honest with you.
Why, John?
It's just well, who's actually going to look at all these photographs? Is somebody going to cut them out, download them, go through them? How long are the photographs going to remain up?
Well, where will they be published?
Well, that's what I'm saying here. Like, is there going to be a kind of a directory of criminals? I can understand why they're doing it, but I'd rather see a picture of my friendly policeman and know who he is. Local Bobby, local policeman, local copper, that I can if I have issues. We've seen a number of houses that have been firebombed. We've been seeing where people have been attacked and have gone to the wrong house because of mistaken identity. There's a danger with that, you know, the criminal, I'm not standing up for the criminal, spend 30 years locking them up, but they have been identified. They've had their public day in court. The newspapers have reported on it. Are we now going to add a further penalty with a picture that goes out there? How long does that picture remain out there? Is that picture updated? Do we stick an address on the bottom of it? I can understand it to a degree. It's trying to possibly assure the public of something, but I'm not that sure that people are going to spend all day looking through photographs, or how would you recognise that person from a mugshot, that kind of a thing. You know, it's,
so do you think it could increase vigilantism then?
I think there's a possibility of that, yeah. And very interesting to listen to Kathleen there.
Yeah, she makes a great case, though.
She does. And funnily enough, one that she mentions where there might be difficulty sticking up photographs of or identifying them or putting them out there is sexual assault cases and all that. I think that the public have a right to know if there's a predator in the area, if there's a molester in the area or something like that. But that's a very difficult one. That's one that I would be kind of saying, yeah, okay, let people be warned. But is there a time limit on these things? I'm not that sure that we can just dive into that. I think it's just, somebody comes up with an idea. It goes out there. How long will it last? I'm not that sure. I think, was it some policeman there yesterday on one of your programs said that you could be putting a cross on somebody's back. He's very in favour of it. I would be to a degree, but I think there's ramifications. It's not as simple as just banging photographs out there, you know.
So you've some sort of reservation. You don't sound like you're totally against it either, John, though.
I think there's a case where there's a serious danger or threat to society and someone moves into an area, and we've seen that happen, and I've seen it with rapists over the air and whatever. The public have every right to be warned about that, to be aware, to be alert, to look out. I'm not sure that putting up 100, 200, 300 mugshots of people that have already been convicted, that have done the time, that's trying to get on with their lives, is going to make the public any safer. Mm-hmm. I think that if you target it, if you pick out the right type of crimes and identify that and identify the would-be perpetrators, I think that's a good thing. I think firing stuff out there willy-nilly, a block kind of a photo, kind of stamp album of would-be criminals, I'm not that sure that that'll achieve anything, like, you know. But I do agree with that. If there is a danger in your area and someone is in that area that could inflict danger, can do harm and do damage, I think the public are fully entitled to know that.
Or Norbury McCarthy, who's senator and co-founder of Teagling, I think is going to join us maybe in a moment's time. But Marie Byrne is with us. Marie works in drug prevention and recovery. Do you see a benefit, Marie, to this?
Well, what I thought about it was, like your previous speaker, I would agree totally with what he's saying, because it's very practical what he's saying. When you try to run out these things, how they actually work is completely different from what it sounds. Sounds very exciting when you hear it first. The problem I have with it really is, and I'm totally for supporting victims also, but I also see that many of the people who are turning up in prison services are people who maybe are from low income sometimes. You know, they can't afford the same extensive legal representation. Many are coming from my own assessments of people who attend me, that when I do their assessments, there's a very, very high level of PTSD, depression, and physical or other abuse from when they were young. So sometimes when you get them into a situation where there's a possibility of them being intervened with and taken off the street because of their crimes, no problem with that. Mm. But then in that situation, you should have a service within that that can help put them into reforms, get them into recovery programs. But very often they walk out and repeat offend. The other problem I had is the people that I've seen in programs, sometimes you make them career criminals. They were never good at anything they felt at school. But look at me now, I've got a photo. So I'm somebody. And it actually gives them a certain prestige, believe it or not. Even which prison they were in becomes a thing they like to discuss. Well, I was in this prison. It has takes higher level criminals.
I was in maximum security or something, yeah.
Yeah. And the also, kind of if people want to move on, which many of the people I've met have not wanted to be addicted, but if they do the crime, obviously you have to be off the street. I have no problem. But if they want to move on and they have children and all, everyone is penalised because their photo is up forever and it's very hard for them to go back into employment and that. But I think that before you even start looking and sticking photographs up, you should be looking at the early stages of some of them having been victims and what were the services in the schools that were available. Very little at the moment, unfortunately, for the schools. They don't have it. And the same for the waiting time for prison cases are for criminal cases can be 2-3 years. The waiting lists are forever, you know. Yeah. So before you even get to this point, you've already got a system that is failing people who are victims anyway. But that doesn't mean if you have somebody who is a repeat offender, a repeat perpetrator for sure, I would certainly look at that as you would have to do something about that as an intervention so the public is aware.
Of who they are, maybe, and what crime they've committed. Aubrey McCarthy is with us, co-founder of Teagling. Are you in favour of releasing, I suppose, mugshots, Aubrey?
Thanks, Andrea, for having me. Was that Kathleen who spoke last?
Marie Byrne, working in drug prevention and recovery. Marie, so Kathleen's still with us too, actually. I'll bring Kathleen back in a moment.
I got cut off in the middle. But Marie, what Marie is saying there makes sense in that in certain circumstances, there is an argument whereby if a person is a repeat offender and the system of rehabilitation, the system of prison, the system is not working, well, then I would agree that there are situations where mugshots perhaps should be released. However, I also have worked on the other side of for 20 years. You possibly know Judge Gillian Hussey, who was a district court judge. And herself and myself got together with a number of other people and we set up Teagling. And it was to work with people, and a lot of them, I'd say 70% of them, came from the prison system. And her focus was to see the person, the human, behind the offence and try to support positive change. Mm. And over 20 years, I have seen lives absolutely turned around. And my fear is, if their mugshots were regularly released, well, then you're into public shaming. You know the way social media works. It goes viral. So therefore, the rehabilitation efforts that have been happening in that person's life, I think you'll undo them all.
But for anybody, Aubrey, just for a moment, like for anybody down before the courts, the criminal courts of justice this afternoon, their photograph will be, the cameras will be there, cameramen will be there, journalists will be there. Like, as it stands today, even regardless of doing this, you're likely to be photographed and recorded and videoed walking in or out of the court today if convicted of your crime. That happens as it is anyway.
You are, but according to the journal article there, it looks like that this is going to be like a centre for publishing mugshots. So if somebody wants to get details on who's criminal, etc., it all comes up there. If you looked at Gillian,
so you do it with a quick, wouldn't you do it with a quick Google anyway?
Not necessarily, because you wouldn't have the full names. You wouldn't have, so you can go into detail.
But sure, if you're named, if you're convicted, name and address is there. It's in record as it is.
But address. You know, a lot of these lads live in hostels. A lot of them are homeless. If you look at Gillian Hussey, she wrote a book called Lessons from the Bench, and one thing she said is blame is convenient. It's easy point out the issues, as Maria just mentioned. Perhaps these people have been victims themselves as kids, but second chances are not convenient. Can I give you a quick example of a guy that we worked with? And Gillian and myself worked with him years ago. And there was an article, he was through the criminal justice system. He was a bad lad and he got into fierce trouble. Anyway, he came into Tiglin and I wanted to sit down and see what made this person the bad lad. Turns out his father died when he was 7 years of age. His mother started to bring guys home. The guys home were drinking with the mother. They started to hit him around the place. He used to wet the bed. The mother used to come home, check if he wet the bed. If he wet the bed, she used to get him as a seven-year-old and wipe his face around the inside of the toilet bowl. So what he used to do is he used to go, when the mother was coming home with the boyfriends, he'd get out the window at nighttime, 11, 12 o'clock, and walk around in his school uniform until the next morning for school. So now you have a seven-year-old kid who's now a criminal and possibly a dangerous criminal.
I know, and that's an incredibly complex...
When he gets help, when the system works, that guy transforms. And today, he's a different person with his own family and he's a productive member of society. So my fear is, if you shame that kid for life... He becomes exactly, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and he's a bad lad forever.
Patrick, who's a former prison officer, wants to join us, Aubrey, for a moment as well. You in agreement with what the PSNI is considering doing here, Patrick?
Would I agree? Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%, because I've seen in the prisons when you talk about rehabilitating them, 90% of it, no. Doesn't work.
What doesn't work, or people? Not everyone's capable of being rehabilitated.
Now, sorry, I didn't interrupt you. Okay.
No, well, I'm just asking you the question.
I'm entitled to my opinion. Right. Now,
I'm just asking you the question, Patrick. Apologies.
The prison service does the best that it can, but it's down to the courts, and I have no problem with these people that the victims or people who live in an area can see these people and they can protect themselves and protect their families, because for too long the victims have been left down by the courts, by the whole system. And it's about time these people who commit these crimes are named and they should be shamed.
Are there any circumstances in which you wouldn't publish the photographs of somebody convicted of whatever the crime is?
No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not.
Do you mind me asking, did you work in the PSNI service, Patrick? Or
no.
Just mentioned your former... No, your former prison officer.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Kathleen Chad is still with us from the Save Action, the Sentencing and Victim Equality Group. You're still firm in your opinion, Kathleen, on this, that similar to Patrick?
Absolutely. I would be, to be honest. And I think it, with any discussion like this, if you think in terms of the speakers, if you like, before Patrick, it is about, again, what gets to me is it's so much about the perpetrator. It's so much about their history. What have they done? What has brought them to it? And I get it. I'm a human. I get that there are all sorts of circumstances that get somebody to where they actually are. I totally understand that. And I know my circumstances are and they're not different. But the reality is the focus is so much on the perpetrator all the time, where the victim gets sidelined. And not on purpose. It's a system. It's nobody does that on purpose. And I know that, absolutely. But this is, all my reading of it is, this is very much about the victim and actually supporting the victim. in this, and it's relatively simple. I don't disagree with some of the points that were made in regards to it. As I said before, I don't know how much of a deterrent it's going to be, and there are circumstances where it isn't going to be appropriate, and my reading of it is that there will be that can be considered, but you know, people have made, you know, they've made decisions in their lives for whatever reasons and whatever it is that brought them to it. I have sympathy in those cases, but there's still a victim at the other end of it who may want this person named and shamed, I suppose, if we want to put it that way. I don't know how good or otherwise it's going to be. I don't know how much of an impact it's going to have. I don't even know the circumstances, to be fair, as to how they're published. Is it simply that they're sitting somewhere and available if somebody looks them up? So there's a lot of things that I suppose we don't know. And as is always the case, a headline is what grabs your attention. And there's an awful lot behind it.
Well, a lot of people exercised, I suppose, by this suggestion today from the PSNI. Kathleen Shada, John Cuff, Patrick, Aubrey McCarthy, Marie Byrne. Listen, thanks a million to you all for sharing your thoughts with us on the programme today. Dee in Dublin is wondering, will it operate something like RIP.ie, the website? Alphabetically, show the county and town, both of which the person lived and where the crime was committed. I don't know how this would operate. Another listener makes the point, posting criminals' photographs on a website could lead to vigilante crime. If people are really interested in criminals, go to the courts and read the papers. The information's already there. Lara in Dublin makes the suggestion, what if a person, if somebody is convicted, named and then exonerated on appeal? The compensation they could claim for the public ruining their reputation would be huge, substantial. And another listener just says, yes, 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 publish all the photographs. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Starting the year strong is easier and more delicious with Omaha Steaks premium prepackaged proteins. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more, every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.